Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, December 23rd, 2016. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
No, I'm getting sick, man.
All right. No one share drinks with Brian today.
That's a terrible idea. Terrible idea. Happy Christmas.
Yeah. Happy Christmas. Speaking of happy, Adam Christensen from the MacCast is here. How are you, Adam?
I'm good. I thought we were here. Christmas is here. Christmas. Oh.
We had this idea. Yeah, it was a terrible idea, though. Someone had this idea. I don't know who had that idea, but
it was you, Brian. It was Brian. And so what this proves is that when Brian is sick, he comes up with the most incredibly ridiculous, yet at the same time, painfully awesome ideas.
Let's just talk about
happy holidays, everyone.
Adam is joining us.
Hanukkah, Festivus, whatever you celebrate.
Yes, whatever holiday you celebrate. Or even if you don't celebrate a holiday.
Or if you don't, yeah.
Just have a wonderful time because you deserve it. And if every one of you was here in the studio with us, I'd hug you, each and every one. Speaking of hugs,
you'd probably get someone sick.
No, I wouldn't, but you would. So I will hug, and you can watch, but just don't do it in the creepy way. Anyhow, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Eero. And after this intro today, well, hopefully they'll still be our sponsor because they really rock. And we'll talk about them soon. But first, hey, Uber. So people are
Uber's being bad again or not. Maybe.
Yeah. People are freaking out about Uber again, and they're freaking out again because they think that Uber is spying on them and tracking their location when they shouldn't be.
Well, I wonder if that has anything to do with the fact that at every point that company makes the wrong decision when it comes to how to treat their customers and how to treat their employees. I wonder if it's because their track record is being held against them. I wonder if maybe that's why people are jumping to conclusions that may or may not be justified right now. Is that possible? Is maybe just a tiny little wee bit possible?
Don't hold back, Brian. How do you really feel?
I'm working on it.
We should tell people what's going on, probably, though.
Yeah, Adam, you gave me a great explanation of that. Do you mind?
Yeah, no problem. So, Uber has, as Brian pointed out, had this track record of, in order to do what they need to do, you call up a cab, you give them your location, or a car, rather, and the person comes, picks you up, and stuff like that. And in the past, they've had issues with the tracking. So the way it's supposed to work, or the way it did work, was you would pull up the app, you'd send your location, they would get that location data, they would use that to send you out a car, you would go on your ride, you would get out, that ride would be paid for through the app, and you go on your merry way, and they would stop at that point using your location. I guess recently, and I kind of missed this, they changed how they were doing that, and they started gathering location data. I know for like 5 minutes after your ride and potentially before, they were like bookending it, and people kind of got upset about that. Like, what are you doing with this extra data? And they said, well, we're trying to, make the service more accurate. What's happened most recently is some people started to notice in iOS, if you go into the privacy settings, so if you go into settings, privacy, location services, you can get that nice list of all the apps that have the potential to use location. And of course, Uber's in that list. And next to that, you get three little icons. There's a purple icon that says the location services are being used. Mm-hmm. There is a gray icon that says the location services for that app have been used within the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And if you have a little purple icon, that means that app is using a geofence. And so what people noticed was that more than 24 hours, up to days or even weeks after they had used Uber, the Uber app was showing the little gray icon, which would mean that app has accessed location services within 24 hours. And part of location services is that, well, that data gets sent to the company. Mm-hmm. So as Brian pointed out, because they have a bad track record of misusing some of this data, people are like, what is going on? This is terrible. What are you guys doing? And so Uber responded this week or today, I think, or yesterday to TechCrunch with a statement saying, it's not us. What's actually going on is there's a feature that was added, I think, in iOS 9. There's Uber integration and Lyft integration now with the Maps app. And the way that works is it uses a Maps extension that Apple makes available. And so Uber is saying, no, it's not our app that's doing it. What it actually is the Maps extension. So if you access or use Uber from Apple Maps, we have to be able to share that data with our app because we need to know what's going on so we can pick you up. So you can order an Uber from Maps. Also, I think that's how it works. If you order Uber or Lyft from Siri, you have to have that integration on with Apple Maps because it's all done.
I believe you're correct.
Through the extension. So they're saying that's the thing that is continuing to use location report it. What I find interesting about this, though, is if you go into, and the way you control this one is you go into settings, you go into Maps, if I can find it here.
Yep,
and down at the bottom, there's extensions, and you'll see Lyft and Uber if you have those apps installed, or I also have Yelp. And so you can turn it off there. So if you're worried about this situation that Uber is misusing this data, you can just turn it off the Maps extension, and supposedly that will correct this thing. But what I noticed under the Maps extensions, it says enabling this may, I love this, because it's so vague, may share pickup locations, destinations, restaurant views, and with the app's developers. So, you know, what Uber doesn't address is that, hey, this is Maps, but then don't come out and say, well, we're not taking that data or collecting that data or doing anything with it. They just say, no, it's Maps, and if you're worried about it, turn off Maps.
Yeah. Well, my guess is that's actually extension. The solution right now, regardless of what they're doing.
I'm thinking maybe the solution is to get rid of the Uber app off your phone, but you know, I hate this.
Let's see, that's kind of to Brian's point, is they're vague about, okay, this wasn't, you know, this data wasn't us, but they didn't come out and say, and we haven't been using any of that data or collecting any of that data, or that data that we collected accidentally because of this thing, we're going to get rid of that data.
That would be a nice gesture.
Their track record isn't, but they don't do that. They don't do that. They're always doing things wrong. They feel like they are above the law, literally above the law in California.
Well, no, they did pull they pulled their cars out of San Francisco and they're taking them to Arizona.
Yeah, how long did that take?
A while.
Several days of arguing with the state and the city, saying that they don't need a permit to run driverless cars. Autonomous vehicles, I should say, in the city of San Francisco. Listen, if I was going to use Uber at this point, I would turn on location services, order the car, and when I get the ride, I'd get into the car and I'd turn off location services for that app.
Okay. I think we should do it.
Yeah.
That's what I would do because I don't trust that company at all out of principle.
See, and I want to get an Uber with you just on principle to watch you sit in the car and make sure everyone in the car knows you're shutting off location services.
Oh yeah, I'm kind of obnoxious like that. The reality though is that if you and I are getting the Uber together, you can order it on your phone. They can track your happy butt.
Yeah, I know. The reality is that's exactly what would happen. Adam, you're about to say something, and I cut you off.
Well, the other thing that I was going to say, and you brought this up, Jeff, and this is a good point, because just for privacy, location privacy in general, one of my preferred ways of setting up location services for most apps is I go into the privacy, I go into location services, select the app that needs to use location, and I almost always want to change it to while using, meaning only use the location while I'm using the app. You're not allowed to use it in the background, you know, with the very rare exceptions of some apps, like my automatic that I use in my car for doing tracking. I want that always to be able to, you know, track my
same here.
Stuff because I use that for mileage and things. But what's interesting is Lyft has the option while using, which is what I have Lyft set to. Uber, for whatever reason, seems to only allow the options of never and always. So I either have to always let them use my location, including in the background, or never use my location.
Well, it's because that's better for Uber. And Uber generally operates in a mode of whatever is better for Uber is what Uber's going to do.
Yeah. So I think more developers need to be aware and use the option of while using. And I'm looking at
They're aware. They made a choice to do it this way.
Nest is the same way, by the way. Google.
Uber is not, Uber is not alone on this. Uber is absolutely not alone on this. There are which, many apps out there
that, you know,
bugs the heck out of me.
Nest is doing it, I am hopping in to see how Echobee handles that.
Yeah.
And Echobee while using the app. Okay. There we go.
Of course, because look at the types of companies. You know, Google makes its business off of knowing your location data. So it doesn't surprise me that
Echobee's business is selling you a high quality smart thermostat. Yeah.
So.
All right. So we have Brian's solution, which is delete the Uber app from your iPhone and never use them again.
Right.
And then we have Adam's solution, which is Uber needs to make some changes so that they're more respectful of our privacy.
Yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
My other option, though, is to turn on location services, order your car, and then when you get the car, turn off location services. Now, no one's going to do that. No one is as much of a high maintenance princess as me. But
yeah, that's actually good advice. And for sure, if you're worried about the maps thing, if you want to take Uber at their word, and I believe this could be what's going on. Again, the fact that they're not talking about, well, we're getting the data anyway, and what are we doing with it and all that, and not being transparent about that is, you know, telling. So I would say, you know, just use Uber from the app at the very least.
Turn off the maps extension.
And turn off the maps extension. You're going to lose some functionality. You won't be able to order an Uber probably with Siri, but, you know, for your privacy, it's probably worth it if you have to continue to use Uber.
Yeah, and if you really want to have a car sharing app linked into Maps, then maybe consider using Lyft, because go ahead.
I was just going to point out, I mean, if what Uber is saying about the extension doing the thing that's checking location services after you've, you know, finished your ride for up to 4 or 5 days, Lyft would potentially have the same, you know, same issues.
That's what Uber
is alleging. So if you're really concerned about that, just be aware of that. But the one nice thing about Lyft, like we pointed out, is you can do the while using app thing, which says to me that they're being a little more conscious about location privacy than maybe Uber is, just based on actions.
Right.
I would say it's just based on the fact that we're in a day of the week that ends in D-A-Y. that's just me. By the way, I'm expecting for Uber to dox me now, because
excellent.
Because,
but you don't use them, so it doesn't matter.
Well, no, but they could do some opposition research on me, which is, you know, something they actually do.
Yeah.
Nice.
I suppose the upside of that would be that if there's personal information that you have lost but you still wanted to have, they could recover it for you. I'm trying to find a silver
lining. Always looking at the bright side, Jeff.
Just, I'm really trying to help.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Eero, the Wi-Fi mesh network product, which is what I'm using for my network right now. And I'm really pleased with it. I replaced my Airport Extreme base station with an Eero. Actually, I'm using multiple Eero. And so I'm covering my entire space with this mesh, Wi-Fi mesh that Eero creates. So instead of having to have multiple base stations scattered around that are bridged together, and then the devices need to try and figure out which one they should be connected to at any time. And my experience has been that's never that reliable. Wi-Fi mesh is the way to go. And that's what Eero does. Because what it does is it takes care of all of the technical parts that make bridging base stations together not reliable, it throws all that out, and it just makes everything work. And it's smart enough so that it knows what device should be connected to an individual Eero access point at any given time. So you have better coverage, you have better reliability across your network, and it even monitors all the traffic so that you don't have one device, like, say, your Apple TV streaming a high-def movie, sucking all of your bandwidth up, and then everything else has trouble getting on the internet. Not going to happen with your Eero, because it's monitoring all your devices all the time, and it will partition out bandwidth for the different devices, so everything can do what it needs to do, but won't hog the entire network. Absolutely love that. So amazingly easy to set up. Seriously, the longest part of the setup process for me was finding enough outlets, because I have so many things plugged in. And once I did that, then it, you know, it was just a few taps, and I had this brand new network that extends much farther than my original network did, and is much more stable, more reliable. And the issues I was having before, where specific computers just seem to always have really bad bandwidth, that's completely gone. So I'm very happy with my Eero setup, and I want you guys to be happy too. So here's what you need to do. Head over to the Eero website. That's Eero.com. And then pick up the 3-pack so that you have enough of the Eero units so that you can properly cover your entire space. Also, you get $100 off when you do that. So it's regularly $4.99. You can pick up the 3-pack for $3.99. And it gets even better, because when you get to the checkout, choose overnight shipping and then use the discount code TDO. And that TDO code is going to get you free shipping. So you can order your Eero today, your Eero kit today on the 23rd, and have it tomorrow. And you'll be up and running really fast with the killer network.
But actually tomorrow, though, the 24th on Saturday?
Yeah, they're doing overnight delivery. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. That's awesome.
It's awesome. Also, the $100 off deal runs through the 24th. So if you're going to take advantage of this, you don't have much time to get that $100 discount. So hop to it, gang. And Eero, thank you for being our sponsor. Okay, so Adam.
Yeah.
You went through an amazing ordeal to get a set of AirPods.
I went on an adventure, yeah, only to find out at 4:15 a.m. the next day that Apple shipped my January 12th order like 3 weeks early. So, hey. But I got my hands on a set of AirPods, and I've been messing around with them for a couple days. Uh-huh. And, you know, I don't think we need to go into all the things. I think you had Michael on, and you guys talked over some of the initial impressions. And I agree with almost everything that's sort of being said. They're kind of magical. The pairing experience was great. Although I did kind of hit a hiccup with mine, but it might have been because I kind of started it and then I canceled it, and then I tried to do it again and it was a little bit confused. So I actually had to reboot my iPhone. But I'm going to call that user error on my part, because once I did that, it paired up fine and everything worked beautifully and great. The sound is, I think, better. I have to do some comparisons. I haven't pulled out my Lightning EarPods and also my old wired EarPods, but I'm going to be doing some testing. But my initial reaction was I was surprised at how much bass response these things had.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't remember that. I'm not a huge bass person, but I think so. I think overall, now that I've listened to more of a variety of music, what was going on was I had a podcast playing and they sort of had this background music that had a bass rumble. And it actually freaked me out at first, because I put it in and it was like vibrating my ear.
Wow.
And it was like a weird feeling. So I was like, what is that? And at first I thought maybe they were shorting out or there was a buzz, but I'm like, no, that's the bass. So that was very interesting. But I guess the one main comment that I want to add is, as great as they are, as great as the build quality is, the whole charging case thing, all of that stuff that you've heard is wonderful. I think a lot of people seem to be making them seem like they're like perfect. Almost.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not. I mean, I've had a few little issues. I had some audio crackling when I was right next to my phone. It went away very quickly, you know, but it was there. Range, I will say, has been great. I can walk all around my house with them connected and not really have too many issues until I get pretty far away and there's lots of walls and obstructions, you know, between me and the AirPods. I think Apple needs to work on some of the user interface stuff, I guess, is probably my biggest complaint. And you may have heard this, you know, the fact that Siri is the only way to change volume or kind of do anything with them other than pulling out your device, which isn't really a big deal. But it's just one of those things that becomes a little bit annoying. And once you've paired them with multiple devices, I think there needs to be a faster, easier way to sort of switch. The best way that I've found to switch devices, say between my iPad and my iPhone, is to actually use the control center and go to the music player and then use the AirPlay button from there.
Oh, okay.
To switch. But that's, I mean, if you think about that, that's pick up the phone, swipe up. If you're not on the music player, swipe over. Tap the button to switch the device, tap the AirPods to get them to switch, and then they switch automatically, which is way better than, you know, any other Bluetooth headset that I've ever had. Mm-hmm. But it's still a lot of steps. And that's one thing that I'm finding I'm doing, because I switch between my iPad Pro and my iPhone quite frequently. So I'm finding that, and you never know which one it's going to connect to. It seems to be kind of random, whichever one, you know, when I put the earpod in my ear, it does this great tone when it connects. But it's like, if I'm not near my device, it's what device am I connected to? I don't really know. And you can't ask, like I tried using Siri to say, you know, what device am I using or what's the name of my, and she's just totally confused. So some of those little things, I think they'll need to do a little tweaking, and hopefully they will. You know, some people have mentioned additional gestures and that sort of thing. So they're great by far and away. I think they're the best Bluetooth headset experience I've ever had. I haven't used a ton of Bluetooth earphones and earbuds, probably four or five different models. But, you know, the connecting, the using, the sound quality, the quality of the signal is all, you know, well far and above other Bluetooth headphones I've used, but they're definitely not perfect, I guess, is the only thing that I wanted to add to the conversation, because a lot of the reviews make them seem like, oh, these, you know, all the problems have been solved, and that's definitely not the case.
Yeah. Okay. So, I have kind of dominated asking the questions about AirPods on this show, meaning, talking with Michael and now talking with you. Brian, do you have any questions for Adam about AirPods before we wrap up?
Can you hear me ranting about Uber in them?
Absolutely. And you sound gorgeous.
That's good. Are you wearing them now?
No. No.
Tell me slowly. Tell me slowly. On a serious note, how much music listening have you actually done with them? I mean, I tested them at the media event where they were announced, but, you know, that's a terrible listening environment. Within that listening environment, I was shocked at how good they sounded, but haven't been able to sit down with them and do proper listening.
Yeah, so what I've been trying to do is do a full range of sort of styles and things like that, everything from classical to really bassy hip-hop stuff to just the standard, like, alternative, all pop kind of stuff that I listen to. And it seems to do well in all the situations. I'm the first person to tell you I'm not an audiophile. So I'm not super picky about my audio. To me, they sound great. I mean, they sound like a really good set of any other headphones that I've ever owned. So, you know, not your cheap $10 ones, but, you know, a $100, $200 pair of anything else that I've probably used. So I don't know if that's a good way to say that, but I mean, to me, there's everything from the bass response up through the highs, and everything sounds good to me. But again, I'm not an audiophile, and I'm not super picky. So you got to kind of take that into account.
Have you found yourself able to, one of the things that I liked when I was being shown the devices was the notion that you can pull one out to pause music.
That's amazing. That is a magical experience, and it works with it worked with videos for me. It worked in the HBO app as I was watching a movie. I could pull it out; it would actually pause the movie. And okay, I don't know if that's something that's going to work everywhere. I've read that some developers actually need to implement that feature, and it works. Again, it works most of the time. I've had a couple situations where I've taken one out, put it back in, and it doesn't start back up playing, So about 90% of the time it's worked for me. There's been on occasion where I've had to, activate Siri and tell her to resume or start playing again, whatever I was listening to. And I don't know why that happened. But and again, that's part of the problem of not having a visual interface for them. But I'm a firm believer in sort of, this is a glimpse to the future, the path to the future of where we get to interfaces that aren't a screen or a touch screen, a voice interface or an interface for an augmented reality, VR reality sort of thing. A lot of those things are going to rely on voice, which is sort of the most natural way for us to interact with most things. So, I think this is early stuff in Apple's sort of developing the technology that's going to drive some of those future technologies. So that's kind of cool. That's another cool thing I think about AirPods. But that whole pausing thing is pretty magical.
And you find yourself actually using it and not just like, oh, that's a neat feature, but I don't ever use it.
No, immediately it became useful because you're at the coffee, I work at the coffee shop and someone might come up and you just take it out and you can engage in that conversation. And then when you get back to it, you put it back in. And sometimes you'll forget, depending on how long that conversation is.
I didn't know you were a barista.
Yeah.
And do you also find yourself using the various things where you can touch the AirPods? To control them.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is the double tap gesture is a little bit finicky. That was another one of my complaints, is... I found that the best way is if I make sure that I sort of lay my hand right against my face and sort of, tap, you kind of got to tap on the right spot to get Siri to activate. And again, you're waiting. So you'll double tap.
Because it's interpolating vibrations. You shouldn't need to tap on the right spot.
Yeah. Well, it
because, even says because, in the because you're not touching a button.
Yeah, the instructions say to do it sort of right above the stem, sort of near the top. So that's even in the little manual. I bothered to read the manual. This is the first thing I've ever read the full manual because I was kind of having some trouble with it, and I'm like, I must be touching it wrong, as Steve would say, you're holding it wrong.
And it turns out you were.
Yeah. It says double tap above the stem to activate Siri or answer a call. Yeah,
so it should be anywhere above the stem though. Shouldn't need to be finicky.
Yeah, maybe I am doing it wrong. And if somebody is able to get it to work really consistently, let me know. But I have sometimes trouble activating it. I've had situations where I've had to do the gesture two or three times before Siri comes up. So there you go.
All right.
Fair enough.
Great.
Thanks for sharing, man.
Well, I ran us over today because that was just really great info, Adam. So thank you for taking one for the team and going on your crazy epic road trip to get AirPods.
Yeah, I'll be talking about that on a little quick plug. I'll be talking about that on the next MacCast. So if you want to know about my AirPod adventure, it'll be fully documented.
Awesome. And I'll make sure there's a link to the MacCast in today's show notes so it's easy for people to find you.
Thank you.
Adam, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It was fun.
Yes, this was loads of fun. And Brian, thank you for being here. I hope you feel better soon.
Absolutely. I'm sorry for being a little cranky.
Well, it's okay, because sometimes your crankiness is entertaining. Anyhow, Eero, thank you for being our sponsor today and all week long. Head over to the Eero website. It's Eero.com, and pick up that 3-pack of Eeros, and you're going to get $100 off through the 24th. And then use the discount code TDO when you pick out your overnight shipping, so you get free overnight shipping, which is an awesome thing. I do love my Eero network, and I want you guys to have awesomeness in your homes and offices, just like I have. And listeners, thank you for joining us. It's been great to have you here all week. Just so you know, we will not be here on Monday because we are taking the day off. And we're saying it's for the holiday, but the reality is we want Brian to get better. So we're all taking the day off in solidarity. And thank you, everyone, for being here. We'll see you next Tuesday.